Well, there's no there's no sense denying that we'll continue to be concerned and to be thinking about Jonah this morning and the family. Word is that he does seem he's going to be okay. Just a drop in blood pressure, but he's doing fine. He's doing okay. So we'll keep praying, though, as we look to the Word this morning. And we'll just trust that the Lord will have his hand in this. And continue to pray for Jonah and the Herfs throughout the remainder of the day and week as well. This morning, I chose Psalm 33. And I'll be honest. So even during the last song, I'm trying to figure out, well, do I just preach the psalm I was planning on preaching this morning, or do we do something else? I'm going to trust that as the Lord prepares things ahead of time, I'll trust that this is the place where we're supposed to be this morning, and we'll look to this passage of the Word of God. So Psalm 33. This is the Word of the Lord. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Well, before we consider this passage together, let's pray. Father, even now we ask that your Spirit will be with us. Help us to wait on you. And Lord, help us to be bold and courageous, but also help us to trust that you will fight the battle on our behalf. Lord, we come to you because every week, every day, every moment, we are needy. And sometimes we feel that need and our own powerlessness more keenly than at other times. And Lord, this morning we feel that. We feel our need for you. We need your Spirit to be here. We need you to be active in our midst. Lord, we need you to touch hearts and minds and souls and bodies. Father, we need you to do a work of grace and power. And so we pray that you will. Lord, forgive us for all the times we've gathered and we've relied on our wisdom and our goodness and our giftedness and all of those other things that we think we have control over. This morning, help us to rely only on you, only on your Spirit. And help us to trust you that you have given us your word, that your word is sufficient for all of our needs. And so, Father, guide us. We come to you with thoughts and feelings in our hearts that are not normally what we have on a Sunday morning at this time. You know our concerns. You know that our thoughts and our hearts are with Jonah and with the family. And Lord, we do pray that you will be with them, Lord. But also we pray that you will be with us. We pray that even now you will do the work in every one of our lives that's needed, because we all need you. We all need a touch from you this morning. So open our minds to your truth and open our hearts to your Spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 33 is a psalm transparently of rejoicing. It's a psalm of joy. And we've already looked at Psalm 13. We've already talked about lament. We've already talked about how, you know, the Psalms begins by talking about blessing. You're blessed if you forsake the company of the wicked. You're blessed if you trust in God's word. You're blessed if you submit to the great king that he establishes over his people, fulfilled in Jesus. But then Psalm 3 and Psalm 4, and it just comes wave after wave after wave of difficulty and trial and sorrow and pain. And you start trying to figure out what's going on in life. Why is it like this? We all, even outside of the philosophical question, we all do wonder sometimes, like, where is God? When there is pain and when there is sorrow, when there is suffering, where is God? Why doesn't he stop it right now? Why does it persist? And that's a real part of life. Because we live in a world where there really is a curse. There really is sickness and sorrow. There's sin. And yet, the psalmist also, over the book, different authors, different circumstances, different centuries, they still will culminate the book with what's called the great doxology, that is, psalms that build up to a crescendo of praise in Psalm 150. And the point is, you start by obeying the word of God, you forsake the path of the wicked, you submit to God's king, and in the end, you, with everything that has breath, you will praise the Lord. Not because he forces or you to or coerces you. He's not a tyrant making you bow before him. But because actually, through every circumstance of life, you have learned that the chesed, that is the unfailing covenant love of God, is actually better than life. And that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't need to fear any evil because God is with you. And his staff brings you close, and the rod that he carries drives away your enemies. And so you don't need to fear evil, even in that valley of the darkest times. So the book is very real. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't put a veneer on life. It calls us to actually It calls us away from denial to reality. It calls us to go through the difficult things. But you know that we don't go through those alone. We go through those with the Lord, walking us through them. He is our shepherd. And because of that, we are actually going to be okay, because we are the flock that he loves and cares for. We are the sheep that the good shepherd will lay down his life to purchase with his own blood. We are the sheep who have resurrection life because Christ loves us and lays down his life for us, only to take it up again so that we can live forever and ever with God. This psalm, though, is a psalm which really does call people to praise God. And it calls people to see what God is doing, because perspective actually really, really does matter. Usually in life, I will say this. Every once in a while, well, actually not every once in a while, pretty frequently, because of what I do, I'm asked by people who don't go to this church, so, how's the church in Madoc? Depending on how well I feel you've been treating me lately, the answer changes every week, actually. But there are times where I think this is a reasonable response. I'm not saying I've ever given it. I think it would be reasonable. If I wanted to talk about the bad things, I could talk all day. If I wanted to talk about the good things, I could talk all day too. So what do you want to hear? I think that's probably true in our families. You want to talk about the trials and struggles in our families? How much time do you have? Like, seriously. I can't get through it in 5 minutes. Can you? You want to talk about the blessings? Oh, I have so much to praise God for. How much time do you have? I can't get through it in 5 minutes. So it's a lot of it is perspective. And it's not just, are you an optimist or a pessimist naturally, although that does actually lend itself to how we analyze life usually. Is the glass half full? Is it half empty? Like, what's your perspective? It actually really does matter. And so here the psalmist isn't denying anything, but with the choir of God's people saying, let's sing joyfully to the Lord. If you are righteous, sing joyfully to the Lord. Not sing a dirge. It is fitting. It's good. We should be praising him. That's what the psalmist starts with. Everyone, if you're righteous, the right thing to do is praise God. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Praise him with different types of instruments. Stringed instruments. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Sing for him a new song does not mean don't sing the old songs. Every song you need to sing, you've never been able to sing. You should never have sung it before. Because what is old anyway? But whenever we're told to sing a new song in Scripture, and you see it in Revelation 5, all of the angelic beings, then they sang a new song to the Lamb. Worthy. You are worthy to open the scroll. Why? You have purchased people for God from your tribe and tongue and kindred and nation. Right? The reason the angels sing a new song is because they are responding to the new work of God in salvation history. That is, when Christ has conquered and been raised from the dead and is ascended to the right hand of the Father, you have to sing something new because he's done something new. And so with the psalmist, when they're saying, sing to the Lord a new song, one of the things they're saying is, perspective, look at what God is doing that's new and fresh in your life. Because God is at work. And so we thank God for past grace. We thank God for what he's done. And we should never forget those covenant blessing those covenant mercies and blessings. In fact, some of us would probably do a lot better some days to reflect on all of the things God has done for us in the past, how faithful he has been for years, you know, for decades for some of us. And Ron mentioned his mom this morning. Part of that is also the younger generation learning from those who have faithfully walked with God for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. Look at what God, look at how God has brought them through so many different things, and God still got them. What's the new thing God's doing? Like, how are you growing? What is God doing in your life now? Because if you have a vibrant relationship with God, you should be able to see God is doing new things. And I can praise him for what he's done in the past, but I also need to praise him in a new way for what he's doing now, because he hasn't done this to me before. He hasn't done this for me. He hasn't shown me this part of himself before. I didn't know that about him. And then new blessings require new praise. So that's the idea. Sing to the Lord a new song. Pay attention to the new, fresh blessings that God is pouring out into your life. See them. And turn them back into praise to God. Play skillfully and shout for joy. Now, shout for joy translates a Hebrew phrase, which means shout for joy. Now, I know that as Baptists, we are constitutionally unable to fulfill this text of Scripture. However, it means exactly what it says. The word shout in other contexts is used for crying out in battle. It's used for ecstatic, exuberant responses. The sort of thing where when you think about your favorite sports team in the quote-unquote big game, And they score as the game-winning goal. What is the natural response in that stadium? It is not quiet, right? That's what he's saying. Everyone, let's gather together. Let's sing joyfully. Let's shout for joy to the Lord. Last night I preached at a church in Ottawa, Hope, Ottawa. They run facilities, so they have Saturday night services. And service starts at 5 o'clock. I have to be there at 4, because they go over the order of service, they do all the sound checks, make sure everything's in proper place. Then at 4:30, all of the ministry leaders gather. I give like a 5-minute summary of the text that we're working through. Then they prayed through the text. Then said, one guy gets up, and there's like, I don't know, a dozen of us there, everyone younger than me. It was kind of existential crisis when I realized that, but everyone younger than me. And they say, okay, who's leading the thing? So one guy goes, okay, I will. I said, all right, it's going to be Jesus on three. Okay. So, we all put our hands in, and the guy goes, okay, so, we're set up, we're prayed up, so let's go and lift his name up. 1, 2, 3, Jesus. And they all shout, Jesus. And it wasn't like, it's like they meant it. It's like, let's actually go and let's lift up his name. And let's not do it quietly. Like let's actually. And I was sitting there going, huh. People fulfill Psalm 33:3. Like they actually do. I don't. I whispered it. I didn't even say it. I didn't even mouth it. I was just like, okay. Because I was not going to let the Baptist down. I took my stand. Shout for joy. Like, but seriously, when's the last time, and cultural expressions will vary, but when's the last time you thought about God and you're just like, yes, like, thank you. Like, it was a big deal. Like, the last time you thought about being saved and it was a big deal. Like, it's not something you took for granted. You're like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, like, he loves me? Whoa. Like, thank you, Jesus. Like, you created this world. You made me. You formed me before you said, let there be light. You decided you would make me to love me and save me so I could live with you forever. Like, really? Like, thank you, Jesus. Like there should be, again, the forms will differ. I understand that. But there should be, like, what the psalmist is saying is, like, this should be the biggest deal in your life. It really should. Like, there should be nothing that makes you happier than this. There should be nothing that fills you with more joy than this. Like, this is it. Like, this is what gets you going. This is what you're living for. This is what gets you out of bed in the morning. Like this is it. And your life should show that. Your life should be a shout of praise joyfully to the Lord. Every one of your actions should be a shout of joy to God. People should be able to see it. That you love Jesus. Jesus is a big deal to you. Bigger than the sports game, bigger than a raise, bigger than whatever. It's Jesus that really fires you up. You love Jesus. Shout for joy. Shout for joy to the Lord. Why? Here are some reasons to praise. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. We've talked about this before, but if you're looking for truth in our society, you're going to have to go a really long way before you find it. Or you can just go here, because this is true. We're looking for truth. You know, we said people are looking for love in all the wrong places. People are looking for truth in all the wrong places too. We have a desperate need for love, and we have a desperate need for truth, and both come together here. Not because it's a book, but because it's the message of God for us. This is the word of God. So, we praise him because his word is right and true, and he's faithful. We tend to be faithful in mixed ways. It is sometimes we are, sometimes we're not. Varying degrees of commitment. Varying degrees of follow through. God is faithful in everything he does. There has never been a split second of reality where God has not been faithful. He has never done anything which was faithless. He can't deny himself. He is a perfectly faithful God. He loves righteousness and justice. He loves when things are the way they should be. The earth is full of his unfailing love. The earth is full of his chesed. God's covenant, faithful love fills the earth. That's a reason, like even that, honestly, if you're thinking about life, if you're thinking about, you know, society that we're in, you want some reasons to actually shout for joy? God's revealed his truth. You can know right and wrong. God cares about justice, and the whole earth is full of his covenant love. The whole earth is filled with his love. That's a reason to sing for joy. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He spoke, and a world and a universe came into existence. Their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. That is, he controls. To the Hebrews, the sea was the place of chaos. That's why, in Revelation, for example, the beast comes out of the sea. It's not to be read literally. It's to be taken as this is the home and the abode of chaos. That's why Leviathan is in the sea. That's why Rahab, the serpent, is in the sea. Okay? That's why the demonic abyss is in the sea. That's why in Revelation, at the end, it says there is no more sea. It doesn't mean there's not water. It means that there isn't the abode of evil and chaos. So what you're being told here, he puts the deep into storehouses, he gathers the waters of the sea in jars. It's like God totally is in control of this. Like if I drop you out into the middle of the ocean, presumably you are in trouble. God takes the whole ocean and it's like, you know, it's gardening, we're in the fall. Some of you have been canning stuff. It's like God takes the whole ocean, gets his canning jar and is like, puts the lid on it, puts it on the shelf. That's a symbol for evil and chaos. What's chaos to us is totally controlled by God. What is totally spiraling out of control to us, God's just putting it in a jar. He's totally got it. It is something that would overwhelm us, that might actually be overwhelming us. But it's not overwhelming him. He's totally got it. He just puts the abode of chaos in a jar. He takes the whole ocean and he just puts it in a glass. He's got it totally under control. So the earth should fear him. People should revere him. Because he speaks and it comes to be, he commands and it stands firm. Now then note this, verse 10, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. So, God controls creation. He controls chaos and evil. He is the sovereign king over all nations, and he foils their plans. He will thwart the designs of the nations in due time. But you need never worry that a country, a nation, is somehow got loose and God is desperately trying to corral it. God is not concerned. God has never been concerned about the threat of any nation that has ever existed in the history of the world, and he's not starting today. He is not concerned about the great threat of Canada and the United States towards his kingdom. He is not concerned about Russia. He is not concerned about China. God is not threatened by any nation that has ever existed or that will ever exist in the future. He is in sovereign control of the deep, of the oceans, of the stars, of kings and armies. As he says in verse 16, no king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. The horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. So who are you going to trust? You trust God. Because God is not threatened by horses and chariots. God is not threatened by attack helicopters and bombers. God is not threatened by nuclear arsenals. God is not threatened by human might ever, and he never will be. So don't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in human machinations of power. It's all vanity. It's all going to fail in the end. Trust in God. Because the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. This is why he talks about Israel. Blessed is the nation the Lord has chosen, the people he chose for his inheritance. God is in control of the nations. How blessed to belong to his people. Of course, here he's talking about Israel. In New Testament sort of extension, this would be referring to, we would sort of take this in New Testament as how blessed it is for anyone to belong. Everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ today can claim this verse as something which is true for them in the sense of, we are blessed because we know God. Like, we are blessed because we are God's inheritance. We are his people. The Lord looks down, he sees all mankind. He who forms the hearts of all, considers everything they do. God knows every single thing about you. God knows every thought you've ever had. He knows every feeling you've ever had. He knows every word you've ever spoken. He knows every deed you've ever done. He knows all the things you wanted to do but were too afraid of getting caught, but your heart still desired it. He knows everything about you. If you knew absolutely everything about yourself or about other people, would you send your son to die for them and save them? But that's what God does. He knows everything about us, and he loves us. Which means he doesn't love the first impression us when we're putting our best foot forward. You can't get away with that with God. He knows every single thing about you. And while you are a sinner, hating him and rebelling against him and going your own way, He loves you and sends his son to live in your behalf so that you can have his righteousness, so that he will die in your place to take your punishment, so that when he is raised to life by virtue of union with him, you in Christ have your death and grave totally overcome, not just in this world, but forever. And he does that for you, knowing you. Like, our whole society, people are terrified to be known. Like, being vulnerable with people, being transparent, being open. We are all masters of spinning things. Our society would crumble this afternoon if we knew half of what people are actually up to. But God knows it all. He knows everything about your heart. And he sends his son to be your savior. Now that means that I am completely already fully accepted by God in Jesus Christ. And when I think about me, and I think that someone could love the real and true me at all, let alone that much, what can I do but praise him? What can I do but shout for joy? Jesus, really? Like, really? How can I ever thank you? Like, how can I ever, ever express this to you? I don't even get it. I'll never understand the magnitude. I'll never even understand what your love actually is, but the little bit I know of it, what can I do but praise you? So what we do is we wait. We wait in hope. We recognize that God is our help and our shield, that as he helps us and he protects us. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. There is no one like him, and so we trust in him fully. And then this prayer, may your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. See, there's nowhere else to go. You can't go to the king, you can't go to the horses, you can't go to the army, so you go to God. Where is my hope? My hope is going to be in God alone, or it is going to fail. Everything else is a vain hope for deliverance. So what can I do? All I can do is trust God, wait for him, commit myself to him, but knowing that even in committing myself to him, he's already shown his power in creating a universe. He's already shown his power in bottling up chaos. He's already shown, like, everything's falling apart in so many ways around us. But who's not falling apart? Who's still there as he has been outside of time? Who's faithful today? Who fills the world with his love? Who is just as strong today as he has ever been? Who's not going to fail you? Man, if you can find that, trust that person. Cling to that person. Put everything you've got in hoping in that person. And you know this is true. That person is real. That person exists. That person created the world, created you. His unfailing covenant love fills the earth. So trust him. Commit yourself to him. Commit your family to him. Give it over to God. He is eternal. He knows the right time. He calls the end from the beginning. He's got everything in between. So trust the Lord. And as you count his blessings and goodnesses and graces, shout for joy. Lift up his name. Exalt him for what he has done. is still saving people today through Jesus. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and to lead us in our closing song.